good evening and welcome to the NFL Draft. Tonight, we officially welcome the next generation of players. So if you're ready, are you ready? Let's get it started. The NFL Draft is officially open.
Podcast. I am Trevor Sikkema. With me is Benjamin Solak on a beautiful mock draft Monday edition of the podcast. Hopefully you guys had a great weekend. We've got an awesome mock draft Monday set up for you here where Ben and I are going to be going back and forth, snake draft style, drafting who we believe will be the offensive rookie of the year this upcoming 2021 season. But Ben, before we get to that, I'm actually going to ask, how are you, my friend?
Everything is delicious. Happy, you know, it's Women's College World Series, good times. NBA playoffs, good times. Julio Jones is a Titan.
Didn't even mention the NHL playoffs?
Don't watch those, but heard Kucherov is doing good. Doing him a well done.
Listen, man, I know you love softball, and softball is great because Women's College Softball World Series is like must watch every single game, and it's brilliant. But you need to latch onto a hockey team, man.
I would be very down to it. It's a very intimidating sport to get into without like an access point, which I do not have.
Listen, man, the league is filled with a lot of Eastern European / Russian people, and you would be all about it.
All right, I gotta give it the old college try. As it were.
So one of these Fan Fridays.
Are Flyers good? That's a no.
I think they're fine. They haven't really been a threat lately, I don't think. I think they've been in the playoffs, but like, I haven't really thought they were a big threat. But they're fine. It's not. I don't think they're absolutely terrible. One of these Fan Fridays, we need to unite with the good people who listen to this podcast and find you a hockey team to root for. Because I guarantee you're going to
win. It would be the Flyers. I'm not leaving Philly.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Yeah. You need to just like get into being a big Flyers fan.
Yeah, they have a player that people call Ghost. And he's hotly contested. This is all the information I have.
Something that you said to me there in your introduction of yourself.
Hello.
Is that Julio Jones is now a Tennessee Titan. And before we get to drafting the offensive rookie of the year for this upcoming season, I did want to throw our two cents in there about this Julio Jones trade. Because it's huge. This is one of the biggest transactions that we have had all offseason long. It's a monumental transaction when it comes to a player who has truly defined a franchise now moving on from that. A lot of people grew up watching Julio Jones first as a Crimson Tide wide receiver and then as a longtime Atlanta Falcon. You had the trade up in the draft initially, all those draft picks to go up and trade up to get him. He has been absolutely worth it for them. He has been arguably the best player in franchise history in Atlanta, and now he's with the Tennessee Titans. The Falcons get a 2022 second round pick. And the Falcons get the Titans' fourth-round pick in 2023 while giving back their own sixth-round pick in 2023. So it's a free 2022 second-round pick and then a pick swap in 2023 for Julio Jones getting traded to the Tennessee Titans. Ben, I would love to hear your overall initial thoughts on Julio moving from Atlanta, now being on the Titans, however you want to attack this.
So I think it ended up as we thought it would, right? In the sense of the Falcons wanted a high price, weren't going to be able to get a high price because they had mismanaged their situation and their leverage entirely. Second from the Tennessee Titans plus a fourth out for sixth, I guess, is decent for where they were, but not really a good return on Julio's talent at all. Julio's,
right,
in my opinion, clearly worth a first round pick, even at this current stage in his career. As many have noted, Tennessee is still kind of a team that you just sort of shrug at. New offensive coordinator after how much Arthur Smith meant to Derrick Henry, who really became a dominant bell cow back under him, to Ryan Tannehill, who, you know, he was acquired for late round picks from the Miami Dolphins. Like, he was not considered this high caliber quarterback, and he has really become one of the most effective intermediate deep passers in the league over the last 2 years. Like, Arthur Smith feels like he was a very, very big deal in Tennessee, and we don't know the extent to which Downing is going to be able to replicate that. He's going to be able to sustain that, Todd Downing, the new offensive coordinator there in Tennessee. And so, tight ends depart, Johnny departs, Corey Davis departs, and you add Julio Jones, you say, like, all right, feels like in general their offense has enough weaponry, like this is enough, you know, Firkser and Julio and AJ Brown and Derrick Henry, they'll be good. But there is that big question as to, can Downing give them the same competitive advantages that Arthur Smith did with this personnel? So while I think that on paper the personnel feels at least as good, if not better, with the addition of Julio, it is still tough for me to fully buy into that offense until I see it. And even if that offense is really good, the Titans still look like a one-and-done playoff team as they were this past year, right? Were they one-and-done or no?
Yes. They lost. Yes. Yeah, they lost to the Ravens this year.
So
in the revenge game.
Right. They still feel like that fringe 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th best team in the AFC because, as we've discussed on this podcast, their defense is definitely bad. Whether or not it's worse than last year is up for debate. We're all going to get mad at it. But it's definitely not. It doesn't look like good defense this year again. Even if Downing gets it right and Tannehill stays afloat and Derrick Henry stays dominant, which are big ifs, I don't think they're a team that's measurably improved from last year. And last year, they did not feel like a legit AFC contender. So it is a little bit odd that they would then want to make this much of an investment in Julio and pay this much money to Julio if they're not really a contender, but clearly they think they are. And you can't fault them for making that move, for trying to get over the hump like that. And so I get why Tennessee did it. I don't think it's as foolish, as blind as some other people do. I understand why they did it. I think they got a great price on Julio as well.
So people who think that it's like straight foolish for the Titans to get Julio?
I would say there's a question of like, all right, you know, you're doing this, cool, but like, is your team actually really going to be good?
Okay,
like, you know, Julio feels like a contender move, and the Titans don't feel like a contender is kind of what I'm saying.
So I can understand where you're coming from, but I do want to push back on that a little bit because when it comes to like, are they a contender? I think that that's a argument and a certain way to look at it, but at the end of the day, like, if Julio didn't go to the Chiefs or the Bills, I feel like we would be able to say this no matter what. And that's just obviously not how the league operates. There's a lot of teams that want to get better and try to compete and everything. And hey, you know, 2 years ago, we didn't expect the Titans to be able to make the run that they did to the AFC Championship. Now, you could say they made it to the AFC Championship and they fell to the Kansas City Chiefs, and ultimately that's probably their ceiling now. Is that worth it? I don't know, but you always want to be able to put yourself in the conversation. You've got to think about this a little bit from their point of view too. You know, the owners, the general managers, the coaches, they're not just in here thinking like, well, we're not the Chiefs, so, you know, we're just, it's not going to happen. That's just not how it operates. And I think that if you take it for almost like what it is, like what you know teams are looking to do and how these teams tell themselves that they could beat anybody any given Sunday, I love this trade for the Titans. I really do, because it keeps them within that conversation. I, over the course of this offseason, even on this very podcast, have said I expect a pretty decent regression from the Tennessee Titans that we've seen over the last 2 years, being playoff contenders and going toe-to-toe with the Baltimore Ravens, besting them 2 years ago and like all that. So I thought that they were really going to step back this year. I think the addition of Julio certainly helps this offense, especially given what they have lost, right? The Arthur Smith element, like you mentioned, is huge, and that's going to remain a question mark. But when you lose Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, Adam Humphries, along with your offensive coordinator, like, that's a lot of offensive firepower that you're losing beyond just who's calling the plays. You plug Julio in there, you get him next to AJ Brown, you still have Derrick Henry to lean on. Like, all of a sudden, I like this offense still. Now, this is, again, something that could potentially compete. And I think that as long as you're in that conversation, that's what matters a lot. So I liked it from the Titans. I do want to flip sides to talk about Atlanta's side of this.
What are you doing?
You and I have had this conversation here on this podcast for when the news kind of initially broke that, hey, Julio isn't just like, maybe we'll trade Julio. Like, this is actually gaining a lot of steam because the offseason now for the Falcons, it's tough. And I want to be as fair as possible to the Falcons organization because perhaps this new regime with Terry Fontenot as the general manager and Arthur Smith as the head coach, perhaps they really were put in a spot that was just tough. Like, the big criticism that I have of this move is if you are restructuring Matt Ryan's contract to where you basically cannot get out of this thing for another 2 years minimum, probably 3 years. Why are
you trade him after two?
You could trade him after two, but why are you moving on from your best offensive piece? And you could say, oh, they drafted Kyle Pitts. Like, Kyle Pitts is going to come in. Okay, well then, the Falcons weren't above five. Forget playoffs, okay? The Falcons weren't even... playoffs? The Falcons weren't even above 500 in each of the last 3 years. So subtracting Julio... adding Kyle Pitts just to subtract Julio, that doesn't make any sense. You're still not better as a football team. And if you were really going into a major rebuild, why did you restructure Matt Ryan like that? Now, people will say they had to. There was no other way. They had to get under the cap. I don't think I believe that. Like I'm not saying that
restructure
I know.
Restructure Grady Jarrett.
Huh?
Restructure Grady Jarrett, and it's done.
Like, you could have restructured a couple of other contracts on there that would have made it really easy to maybe move on from Matt Ryan. Right? Think about this. You had the number four pick in the draft, and this is where a lot of people go to, right? They talk about Justin Fields still being on the board and not going after a quarterback and picking a tight end instead. And we love Kyle Pitts on this podcast. Of course we do. But the vision for the Falcons just doesn't seem too streamlined. If you knew that you were going to be in this pickle, and you knew that you were probably going to have to move on from Julio Jones, and that you were going to keep Matt Ryan almost for naught, you were going to restructure him for naught just to say you got under the cap, trade him. Trade his contract. Make a deal with some team. Make it so it could be like a post-June trade or whatever. Throw some extra draft picks on your own. Like, it's almost like a pseudo-salary dump kind of a thing. Like, we've seen the NFL start to do more and more. You could have done that. You could have traded him. There were a handful of teams. How much would Denver have paid for Matt Ryan? How much would Indianapolis have paid for Matt Ryan? You don't think you could have dealt those two to those before Carson Wentz goes over there? I don't know, man. I'm not going to sit here and say that I know the entirety of a situation and that I'm a lot smarter than the cap people that are running the Atlanta Falcons and the guys who are at the top making the decision, because they have a lot more context, a lot more insight into their organization than I do. But I'm also not going to sit here and give them a pass given what is now the state of the Falcons and say that, oh, their hands were tied, they couldn't have done anything else, because I don't believe that's true. I really don't. And because of that, I'm just not a fan of what the Falcons have done this past offseason. I feel like it was, you were pulling different directions, and they just did not get a jump start on whatever this next regime is going to be.
There was a piece on The Athletic today, which was written by Jeff Schultz, I think, and in it, he shared that the kind of the sentiment within the Falcons building was, once the Niners took Lance at three, they were taking Pitts because they didn't like Fields as much as Lance. And man, I just think every team that unintentionally exposes themselves as not being as high on Fields as other quarterbacks is just going to be kicking themselves in a couple years. To me, that's something else.
And that was another light shed on this move. That the league just did not like Justin Fields the way that draft media did, the way that we did. And we're seeing that everywhere.
It is odd. And
it's,
I think,
super
foolish.
Odd.
Yeah.
But that's where we are. I'm not a big fan of it for the Falcons. Big giant, kind of, what are you doing here going into it in a lot of different ways.
Right. Like if Pitts ends up really good, your team will end up in the same spot.
Correct. Right.
That's a problem for me.
And that's tough to swallow, not only because you didn't get a first-round pick back for a guy who brings first-round talent on the field still, but also because you're giving up on a franchise icon. You're moving a franchise icon. You know, I think that absolutely goes into it. And we've had this conversation before. Not that every kind of decision should come down to sentimental motives, but these go into it. It's a human game. We're humans playing it, humans organizing it. These things absolutely go into it. And everybody's like, oh, you had to move on from Julio's contract. Guys, he's a $15 million cap hit this year, which is totally fine for how much Julio is giving back to you as a player.
Which is unacceptable.
And then he's $11 million the next 2 years after that. And all the dead cap is off his deal after this. Don't tell me they had to get rid of Julio Jones. No, you didn't. I think the contract part of it's overblown. All right. So, anyways, do you have any other parting Julio thoughts, or do you want to get to this draft?
I hope he gets what he was looking for in Tennessee.
Wow. Spoken like a true breakup ex right there.
Yeah.
Hope you find what you're looking for.
I do.
Before we get to the draft, got to remind people that BetOnline is the fast and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Get all the news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, Ben's new favorite NHL, and UFC and MMA as well. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in on the game. And as we go through this rookie of the year debate draft, if you hear a little nugget that makes you go, all right, you know what? I'm in. I think that this guy could win rookie of the year. You can head over to betonline.ag and put some money on the line. You will also get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit if it is your first deposit. If you use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's all caps, one word, locked on. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We'll be back to start the Rookie of the Year Snake Draft after the break. All right, Ben. I've got some catching up to do this year.
How's that?
Because last year when we did this exercise, which I'll set the stage for you guys on how we're going to do this. We're not just going to kind of like draft names randomly. We're going to put a little bit of structure to it. There's going to be two quarterback slots in which Ben and I can draft. One running back slot, two wide receiver slots, a tight end, and a flex. Last year was a little different because there were more running backs in the equation. We did one quarterback each. Two running backs each, two wide receivers each, a tight end, an offensive player, so could be another quarterback, and was. And then we also did a defensive player of the year selection as well, because we didn't have time to do a full episode on that. Ben drafted both Justin Herbert and Chase Young.
Hello. Howdy. Can't say I'm surprised. I'd like to thank the Academy, my family, God, obviously. Yeah.
Wait, you said that quick. My family got, like, that was just one. That was one.
No. I'd like to thank the Academy first, obviously, okay, for presenting me with this award. Yes, and then my family. And then I realized I forgot to thank God, which is usually how they open.
Wow, third. So, bat and cleanup.
Yeah, that's on me. That's on me.
Tough. I mean, to give myself a little bit of props, I did draft Justin Jefferson, who should have won Rookie of the Year.
Imagine having to give yourself props for drafting a guy who just was, like, better than we thought. And that's it. That's just, it's disappointing. It's a little pitiful.
Yeah, I need a little bit of redemption this year. So, all right, we're going to go snake draft style. So, obviously, first selection, and then whoever selects second gets both two and three before it bounces back over. You could fill any spot in any order that you want. Ben, I will give you the choice. Since you are the champion of this exercise, do you want to go first or second?
Snake draft, right?
It is a snake draft, yes.
I want second.
Okay. All right.
You sound surprised.
I'm a little bit surprised, but it is more wide open than you think, because a lot of the best odds here are quarterbacks. So you get to double dip on quarterback a little, which I think you are going to do. But given that I have the first pick, I have to select Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence right now has the highest odds to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. You assume that, of course, he is going to be the week one starter. That means that, barring any kind of injury, he's going to be playing a full season. And with that are going to come more passing attempts, more passing touchdowns, more passing yards, just off of a I'm playing every game kind of a basis. Now, a couple of these other quarterbacks we're going to get to, they could be in similar spots and they might be able to rack up the stats as well. But I mean, you're hoping that, because of what Trevor Lawrence has been able to do, how talented he is, how much Urban Meyer has an affinity for scoring points, that this is going to be something that's going to go into Trevor Lawrence's favor. So I'll go Trevor Lawrence here, number one overall, to start this Rookie of the Year draft.
Yeah, no, I wanted second because I figured you would go T-Law first. And I think that there's a good chance that he wins it, but I would rather have big exposure on the rest of the top of the quarterback group and miss out on Lawrence than I would want to go grab him. And so I now get my picks of Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields,
yep,
and Mac Jones.
Yep.
I wanted to have the second and the third pick there. Justin Fields for sure is one of my picks.
Okay.
When we look at rookies of the year, we see the quarterbacks very often win the award. And in order to win the award, you have to start a bunch of games. of the 9 quarterbacks that have won the award since 2000, all have started at least 13 games. Roethlisberger and Vince Young, who won in 04 and 06, were the 13-game starters. Those are the latest ones, right? Those are, or excuse me, the earliest, I should say, close to the 2000, right, a long time ago. After that, it's been 15 starts for the next 7 quarterbacks. You have to play a bunch of games to win this award. Mm-hmm. And there is the concern that Lance will play 12 games. And even that, like, it doesn't sound like that few, but it really is in the framework of this award. And so I like getting Justin Fields in. And then that Lance debate, that Mac Jones debate, is what starts to lean me a little bit maybe towards Zach Wilson, because Wilson's going to have the clear starting job, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to be
right
the undisputed starter with the Jets. He's going to play 16, 17 games. So the Wilson-Lance conversation is really tricky, because I think Lance is in a better situation. He's got better guys around him, and I think he's got more talent. I had Wilson and Lance ranked very closely. I'm gonna take Trey Lance here. I'm gonna take Trey Lance.
Oh, I knew you'd do it. I knew you'd do it.
I can't. I like, so at odds. All right, because we're just drafting these guys at odds. Lance is like plus 650. Justin Fields is like plus 700. Mac Jones is like plus 750. Wilson's at plus 1,000. I like that a lot. I own that ticket. He should not be below Mac, and he probably maybe should be right next to Trey Lance, in my opinion. With that said, in that we're not doing this for odds and that it's not for money, I'd rather take the more talented player in Trey Lance, who still has a chance to start week one.
Wow. This is, do you hear that bark? Do you hear that bark in the background?
Yeah.
Marvel was very shocked.
Marvel was like, good work, Ben. Good
no,
work,
he
work,
was ben. Very shocked. He's like, Dad, he blew it. Capitalize.
It's funny. He blew it.
It's funny because you wanted the second overall pick because you got 2 and 3 there. If you would have given me the choice, I would have picked number 1 because I wanted this turn right here. I would have taken Zach Wilson over anyone that wasn't Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence. I even would have debated taking Zach Wilson over Justin Fields just because of what you said. He's guaranteed the starts. There's nobody else there. They're not going to take him off the field unless he is just God absolutely awful. There is still a world in which a more experienced Andy Dalton could like chew into whatever the timeline of Justin Fields is, even though, of course, I agree that Justin Fields is a lot more talented. So you're going with the guys that have a high talent ceiling. And look, you know, Justin Fields getting into Matt Nagy offense, if that starts to click with the offensive weapons that he has around him, could put up a lot of numbers. Trey Lance, of course, getting to work with Kyle Shanahan, could absolutely be an on-fire situation. But I like LaFleur being the passing game or the offensive coordinator for Zach Wilson. So Zach Wilson's going to be my second pick here. So I get Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. And then my next pick, I'm going with Najee Harris. I'm going with Najee Harris, running back out of Pittsburgh, because I think they are going to make this dude an absolute workhorse. I think that they targeted him in the first round with unbelievable expectations, especially because in a lot of ways, the Steelers are still investing as if they are making a playoff push this season. Ben Roethlisberger proved last year that he is just not that same quarterback. He is not able to, when the going gets tough, really be able to win games, dig them out of holes with his arm. And with that being said, I think that the Steelers are going to invest everything that they can into making sure their running game is what it needs to be. They're going to lean on Najee Harris, not just with carries, but also with targets. And I just think that they are going to force feed him so many touches this rookie year. And if he is healthy, I think that Najee is going to put up a crap ton of stats. So I am very happy with my first three picks of Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Najee Harris.
It's very nice. It's a nice idea. Like, oh, Najee can put up a ton of stats. He's very talented, and they want him to do that. They don't have the infrastructure for it. Offensive line's bad.
I mean,
quarterback's bad.
I mean,
he's bad offense.
I mean,
do you mean
they're still going to give him the ball a lot? So it matters. Right, so it matters, brother.
I just don't know how
carries.
Efficient he's getting
beef
to.
Nah, it doesn't matter. I ain't going for efficiency. We're going for over volume overload. We're bodybuilding out here.
All right, I have 2 picks. I don't need to fill my running back spot. I mean, you can still grab a running back at flex. Now I'm gonna go after wide receivers then. That's pretty nice, right? So I want Ja'Marr Chase obviously at the top. wide receivers don't win this award as often as running backs do. Historically, only three wide receivers have won the award in this century. Anquan Boldin in 2003, Percy Harvin in 2009, and then Odell Beckham Jr. in 2014. With that said, rookie receivers are getting more efficiently and aggressively onboarded than before. They're getting more volume than before. So I think you could see wide receivers start to win the award a little bit more. It's not necessarily a bet I would make, but like obviously we're drafting wide receivers no matter what. So I want Jamar Chase because I think the onboarding process is the easiest for Jamar Chase. Knows his quarterback well. They're going to use Jamar Chase in very similar ways to what LSU used him as in 2019.
Right.
And then obviously, to the extent to which, how much can he produce? Tyler Boyd's there. T. Higgins is there. That's certainly true. But that was true before the Bengals drafted Jamar Chase number 5 overall, and they still drafted Jamar Chase number 5 overall. So it goes to your Najee Harris argument in the sense of, you don't take this guy in the first round unless they expect production.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're going to Joe Burrow is going to look his way every single opportunity he can, I think.
Yeah, so I think that Chase is going to see, if not competitive, then just clearly superior target share, attention, relative to Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins. Speaking of high expectations, speaking of high target shares and going and getting a guy in the first round, I'll take Devontae Smith here from Philadelphia at my other wide receiver spot. Devontae we've talked about him as an eval. He's either going to be really good or it's not going to be good because the weight is really the fulcrum here on which the seesaw slides. And if Devontae is able to play well at his weight, he'll show that right away. And if he's not able to play well at his weight, that'll be evident pretty much right away. And so there's a chance that Devontae just flops. There's also a chance that Devontae looks great looks great playing at his weight, but then that the accrued hits and maybe some of the injuries that anecdotally come from playing at a lighter density take away from him, but that won't affect his rookie of the year performances, assuming that he's able to put together at least that one full season. So if you believe in Devontae's ability to play at his weight, which is something that I whiffle waffle on, but if you do, Eagles have no contest for targets. He does have a rapport with Jalen Hurts because he played with him before, and they traded up in the first round to go get him. It's very clear he's going to be a big part of their offense. So Jamar Chase and Devontae Smith at wide receiver, very happy with those two.
I like both of those selections. I think that they could be monster target getters for their teams. I still can't believe you left me Kyle Pitts as well. But
tight end doesn't win rookie of the year.
Tight end has never, since 1967, never, not once, ever won rookie of the year.
It's not going to happen.
Jeremy Shockey in 2002 won the Pepsi NFL Rookie of the Year award.
Yeah, made up award. Yep.
And then, what is it? Offensive Rookie of the Year winners. What award is this? Oh, the Pro Football Writers of America gave Charlie Young, Philadelphia Eagles tight end, the award in 1973.
Birds, baby.
I'm trying to see where. Okay, in 1961, Mike Ditka won it. So that's before the 69 year. And I think that's it. I'm literally just searching any. The United Press International NFL Rookie of the Year, Mike Ditka, 1961. Let's go, baby. We got this on lock.
Go for it, brother. Go for it.
I mean, I have to at this point. You've left him here. He's too good. Julio Jones is gone. He's going to get force-fed the football. Even with tight end never winning the award, I feel like if there was a tight end who could win it, the situation of Kyle Pitts lends itself to where he's an obvious pick this late in the draft. And so, yeah, I mean, it's not like Julio scored as many touchdowns as we thought he would anyways, which is, you know, something that Atlanta Falcons fans don't like to talk about. The opportunity is still going to be there for him, and I think that he is going to be heavily emphasized in that offense, especially with Arthur Smith now as the head coach there in Atlanta. So I think that if we've ever had an opportunity for tight end to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, it would be one that people argue is a wide receiver anyways. His best usage is in the passing game. It's a passing league more than it ever has been in the past. So I'm going with Kyle Pitts here. This is where we start to get into the not so obvious, right? I mean, I think a lot of the guys that we've had here, maybe the order was a little bit different, but there's not like a obvious 100%, because you could look at, okay, so Jalen Waddle is still on the board, right? We can't pick Mac Jones because we've already picked both of our quarterbacks and we don't have a super flex spot. We just have a regular flex spot. You could go with Jalen Waddle, of course. I think that he's the next biggest name that's still on the board. But Jalen Waddle, though he has the connection with Tua Tagovailoa, there are a lot of wide receivers still in that offense. Now, that could still lend to a good year for Jalen Waddle, but a rookie of the year kind of a year from him? I'm not so sure about that. I'm going to go with Trey Sermon, running back from San Francisco. I'm going off the wall with this one. Because if the depth chart, I believe, is what it was when I looked recently. Okay, so they have Wayne Gallman, they have Raheem Mostert, and obviously Raheem Mostert's going to be the guy. But if Raheem Mostert happens to miss time, go down, which I'm not obviously hoping for, but I'm just saying in this situation, I really like Trey Sermon running behind that offensive line. I think that that kind of zone running approach would be perfect for what he is as a runner, and I think that he could put up really nice numbers. Now, a lot would have to happen in order for him to get to that point, but I'm taking a total swing at the fence here with my flex selection, and I'm going to go with Trey Sermon.
That's, yeah, I would. Trey's not on my board.
That's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, I think Trey could be good for this team eventually, and if the situation was right, just that's way too much of a reach for me. Whereas, like, I can get a guy like Javonte Williams, who Denver traded up to go get,
right?
And
I hear you.
Conceive of as the top back, yeah. Which, okay, I don't have to do because
now you don't.
Yeah, you've already filled running back and flex, so you have to draft wide receivers with your next picks, and I still have a flex spot open, so I can still go get a wide receiver. So I'm getting Jalen Waddle. Which means that I get all the top 10 drafted wide receivers, which I love. If a wide receiver is going to win this award, I'd be very surprised if it does not come from this group of three. I think that Rashad Bateman could be very, very good, and Rashad Bateman got some Justin Jefferson comps, and he was drafted kind of around in the same area. And also last year, you maybe would have said that Minnesota runs the ball too much for Justin Jefferson to win the award, but I think Baltimore runs the ball too much for Rashad Bateman to win the award. They also have Sammy Watkins in the building. They have Marquise Brown. They have a little bit more wide receiver talent there than I think Jefferson, who was very clearly going to step in and be wide receiver too,
right?
Be a high volume player there. And so I may look very dumb on Bateman, but if I do, that's okay. So I want Jalen Waddle. Didn't want him above Chasen Smith just because I think there's a little bit more wide receiver talent there that he has to contend with. They already have Will Fuller, who's kind of in that field stretching role. Tua and Waddle have the chemistry, of course, but Tua, I'm not sure how much I trust. And so I wasn't going to take Waddle above Smith or Chase. I'm very glad to get him, though.
If I would have taken Waddle instead of Sermon, would you have taken Bateman right here?
No.
Oh.
I would have taken Javonte Williams and then Travis Etienne.
Instead,
I get to pick between the two of them. And I personally, I don't want a piece of what's happening in Jacksonville. I don't
that's,
get it.
That's why I didn't want to go anywhere near Travis Etienne.
Yeah. Like, maybe they end up using Etienne. I can't parse that right now. What I can parse with Javonte Williams is that if you had faith in Melvin Gordon, you're not trading up for running back in the second round. They loved Javonte Williams there. They envisioned him to be a bell cow player. They have the offensive line talent, clearly improving on that front. Mike Munchak coaching that offensive line there going to mean that you're going to have room to run. And then Javonte has rumble ability, which means that I think we're going to get him in short yardage situations. We're going to be able to get touchdowns out of him as well, which is pretty important for this role. Hands aren't great. And if you look at some of the running backs who have recently won the award, Saquon Barkley in 2018, Alvin Kamara in 2017, you do have to catch it a little bit, but there's still your Todd Gurley and your Eddie Lacy's in recent history that won it without too much of a receiving profile. So I like Javonte Williams.
Wait, Eddie Lacy won it?
In 2012.
Oh my gosh, 2013, Eddie Lacy won this award. What was his stats? Like, hold on.
Dude, Eddie Lacy the GOAT.
I know, I don't know all that.
15 games, 284 carries, 1,178 yards, and 11 touchdowns. 44 targets, 35 receptions.
Wow. Look at Eddie Lacy's first 2 years in the league, man.
He looked like the dude. He looked like he was it.
Dang. Eddie, what happened, man?
Fell off.
Dude, he had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. He had 20 touchdowns in his first two. He had 24 touchdowns in his first 2 years, if you count receiving. Oh, Eddie, what happened, my guy?
Very sad.
No, Eddie. Oh, okay, now I'm sad. Now I'm big sad. All right, Rip. Were you done with your point? Or was that, were you in with Eddie Lacy?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so who was your selection?
Javonte Williams and Jaylen Waddle.
Javonte Williams. I like Javonte. I think that he makes a lot of sense. I just like, even if he was a starting running back, I don't know how much of a difference he's going to make in his first year. But I also picked Trey Sermon, which you could argue is the exact same thing. But I don't know. I have more faith in Sermon as like the home run out of nowhere rookie of the year guy. But maybe that's just the fantasy in me talking. Before we get to our last couple of picks, I got two more. Ben's got one more. Got to remind people about BuiltBar.com. These are the best tasting protein bars on the planet. They're fantastic for your diet. They've got low calories, low sugar, but also high protein, high fiber as well. So you can have a lot of different flavors. They've got a lot of different options for you over on the website. Go to BuiltBar.com. You can check out all the different kinds of flavors that they have for you. Cherry, raspberry, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate. Like whatever you're into with a protein bar, whether it is fruit-based, chocolate-based, got nuts in it, doesn't have nuts in it, like all of that, they have you covered. We guarantee it. Go to BuiltBar.com right now. Use the promo code LOCKED15, that's locked and then 15, and you'll get 15% off your first order using the promo code LOCKED15. Also, got to remind people that RockAuto.com is a family-owned business, serving auto parts to customers for over 20 years. If you got something wrong with your car, or even if you don't, even if you've just been staring at your car and you're like, man, I could really use some new rims, or I could use new taillights, different kinds of taillights, or I gotta get new wipers to make sure I don't die during the next rainstorm.
I need new wipers.
Well, make sure you don't die during the next rainstorm by going to rockauto.com.
I wasn't planning on it.
Their prices are always very reliably low. It's the same for all the professionals as it is the do-it-yourselfers out there. So why spend up to twice as much for the same part? There's no need when rockauto.com exists. If you go over there right now, see all the parts that they have available for your car or truck, please write Locked On NFL Draft in their little How Did You Hear About Us section. So that would really help out the podcast, help keep the on-air lights on for us. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all of the car parts you were ever going to need, ever. Also could be life-saving if you're Ben. At rockauto.com. And I got two more picks. They both got to be wide receivers here. Rashad Bateman's going to be one of them for sure. Ben for outlined sure. The fact that there are other receivers that are in there that, you know, even though we like Bateman being on the team, we like how different he could make that passing attack. It's not like it's going to be a Thanos snap of the fingers and it's immediately different. I think that it might be a little bit of a process, but there is certainly another reality where he just bursts onto the scene. He's a different wide receiver than they have had in the past. They have success with him early on, and then they just feed him the rest of the year. So I do think there's a path to big-time success for Rashad Bateman. Another wide receiver. That's where it gets tough. I mean, like, I don't think Kadarius Toney's even the type of wide receiver to be able to win Rookie of the Year. Like, he would have to have a lot of X-Factor things go right for him.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah Moore, maybe, but if Elijah Moore's winning it, then Zach Wilson's winning it. You know what I'm saying? So that's a tough call for me there. Terrace Marshall's got too crowded of a wide receiver room. Am I forgetting somebody? Now I got to pull up the full draft board.
I'm not helping you.
Nah, I know you're not. Now I got to pull up the full draft board. Okay.
Am I forgetting somebody?
Shot Bateman, Elijah Moore, Dwayne Eskridge, Tutu Atwell. God, I should just pick Tutu for the memes. Dyami Brown's interesting. Amari Rodgers is also interesting.
Oh yeah.
Ooh.
All right, who is it? Let's go.
Calm down, Mister. I'm not gonna help my friend when he needs it.
No, it's not my job.
I'm gonna go with Amari Rodgers.
Wow.
I'll go Rashad Bateman and Amari Rodgers. Different kind of wide receiver. more underneath kind of a guy. You can force feed him a lot of touches, does a lot of great stuff after the catch. If Aaron Rodgers is back in Green Bay and truly pissed off, obviously he's going to lean on Devontae Adams a lot, but I think things could make it a lot easier if they've got Amari Rodgers and they want to get him involved in the offense like that. Well, they have guys like Alan Lazard and Marquez Valdes-Scantling and them going deep down the field. They could have a lot of underneath success with Amari Rodgers, and that could lead to a lot of targets, maybe a lot of touchdowns, maybe a lot of yards after the catch. Could go well for a team that, if Aaron Rodgers is there, has a lot of playoff aspirations, potential number one overall seed aspirations, and anytime that's the case, you get a lot of national attention, maybe you get your name in the conversation. So we'll go with Amari Rodgers.
You feel good about that?
I feel a lot better about the other selections that I have than my last pick of this draft, but yeah, I feel good.
I feel good about my wide receivers.
That's fine. They're not winning.
They ain't winning.
A quarterback's going to win, and I've got the two that are guaranteed to start all 17 games.
The idea that Fields would not start over Dalton is just absurd. Okay.
Matt Nagy's done worse.
Pat Freiermuth, baby. Here we go.
Are you going Freiermuth?
Who else am I going to go? Brevin Jordan?
No, he was tight end 9.
Tommy Tremble?
Yes.
No, they paid Dan Arnold.
Dan Arnold's a fake name.
If Sam Darnold throws a touchdown to Dan Arnold, I will be inconsolable.
I mean, you know that's happening at least once.
Darnold to Arnold! Sam to Dan! I hate it. All right, Pat Freiermuth. Basically, no competitions for targets in Pittsburgh, where there's Juju Smith-Schuster and Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool and Najee Harris and James Washington. So that's great. Big depth of target with Ben Roethlisberger is going to lead to some explosive plays. And other lies. Tight ends usually.
I was at least able to come up with an argument for Amari Rodgers and Trey Sermon.
Tight ends don't win the award. Tight ends are slow to produce in the league and they don't get enough volume to hang against like the top receiver. Tight ends don't win the award. Kyle Pitts isn't going to win it, nor is any other tight end going to win it.
God, I hope Kyle Pitts wins.
That's not going to be a clip.
Out of everybody on my team, I hope that Kyle Pitts wins now.
Well, it's a shame because Justin Fields is winning it. And if not Justin Fields, then Trey Lance.
All right, little recap here. My team, I got Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Najee Harris, Rashad Bateman, Amari Rodgers, Kyle Pitts, and Trey Sermon. Ben has Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Javonte Williams, Jamar Chase, Devontae Smith, Pat Freiermuth, and Jalen Waddle. So if one of us correctly has the offensive rookie of the year, the loser owes the winner a Publix Buffalo chicken tender sandwich, which means I now owe you another Buffalo chicken sandwich.
No, somebody has to count this for us because there's no way we can do it. I don't even remember the number of bets.
But this one's easy. Like this one's just a 1-1, you know, like you okay. Won this competition. So the next time I see you, you will have the next time I see you in the southeast area of the United States of America.
Heard of it.
I will buy you a Buffalo chicken tender sandwich.
Yeah, and you'll like it.
Somebody who listens to the pod, a faithful ally of the podcast, tried a Buffalo chicken tender sandwich for the first time, I think this past weekend, because they tweeted at us and they said, hey, I'm in the southeast. Do I really need to go to Publix? And we were like, yes, you need to absolutely try this. And they sent back that a Publix deli sandwich, a deli sandwich in general, has no business being this good. I'm telling you, folks.
And they were right.
We're not just out here betting nothing. Poop sandwiches. This is gold. This is the stuff that you die for. This is more important than currency. Forget crypto. Let's just barter with sandwiches from now on.
It'd be easier to understand.
It'd be a lot easier than crypto, for sure. Tomorrow, we are getting back to our NFL Antarctica Invitational Draft. We've only got two divisions left. I believe it is the NFC West and the AFC West. And then on Thursday, we are going to run through the entire tournament. We're going to seed the teams. We're going to go head-to-head. Ben and I are going to determine the winners. And at the end of Thursday, we are going to know who is the most talented division in the NFL and who will be the one to truly save the planet from extinction. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.